This is the Total Tuscany Podcast, episode 66. The holidays are here and you're probably thinking, well, what is the perfect gift for someone you know who loves Italy? Or maybe even a gift for yourself? Well, the answer is easy. It's wine. Wine from Tuscany. Thinking you can't get it delivered fast enough? Our good friend Anthony Frevoletti from CSI Wines is Santa Claus this year and will have your Brunello or Chianti Classico under your tree or in your stocking by Christmas Day.
And just be able to have it delivered to your house in 24 hours in some cases here on the West Coast. And then, you know, if you're a little bit farther over on the East Coast, it's a 4-day or 5-day turnaround. So I want to make it simple. I want you to be able to have instant access to all the great wines that you may have tasted with me in Italy, or you might taste on your own.
Anthony is our resident expert when it comes to wine from Tuscany. He's making a repeat appearance here on the podcast, where we not only talk about the holiday wine shopping experience, but what he thinks is an exceptional year for the 2019 harvest. Please, please, please take the time to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you have questions about Tuscany, email us, totaltuscany@gmail.com, because we love helping people plan their Tuscany trips. I am so excited, Mr. Pat Campagna, because we are starting a podcast in the middle of December, and, well, I'm going to Florence this week.
You're going to Florence, and I'm not.
Well, to be fair, that I did happen to offer you an opportunity to go with us. I begged you for months to go to Florence with us, and you're backing out.
Backing out's a strong word.
That's the way I'm framing it.
I know. That's the way you're spinning it. But obviously, this didn't go well with my rest of my work schedule. But I'm excited for you. I wish I could go.
So for those of you who are listening to the Total Tuscany Podcast for the very first time, I'm Travis Justice. He's Pat Campagna. Together, we make up the website that is TotalTuscany.com. We've been doing this podcast, boy, 5 years almost now, and we get to tell really interesting stories. It was a year ago that I went to Florence over the Christmas season for the very first time. My wife and I are going back, and I'm really looking forward to it because I'm going to spend a lot of time with people we've interviewed. So, and this would be no difference because we first met Anthony Frevoletti, 3 years ago? Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we took a group over on our Total Tuscany experience?
I think that was 3 years ago when we first met Anthony.
Yeah, 3 years ago. And time flies. We've had him on the podcast before. And when he said, the last time he was on, he says, hey, I want to come on and do a 2019 harvest report because he thought there was going to be something special about this harvest, and he was right. But also, listen, he's making it easier for Americans to get the wine they taste in Tuscany to them more affordably and faster. And with the holiday season right now, what better gift to give at Christmas, Pat, than wine, olive oil, or balsamic vinegar, right?
It's perfect. I've ordered some three, four weeks ago. I still don't have it. So this is I'm really interested to see what he's doing.
You ordered without me?
I ordered some for you.
Oh, no, I see. But see, this is going to be interesting because if you've ever been to Italy, because we've done everything, right? We've bought several suitcases in the bubble wrap. We've done that, had bottles break in our suitcases. We've actually had some shipped over, but boy, that took 5-6 weeks.
It did.
As you're going to hear with the holidays, you can probably get wine to your house by Christmas, if you order by like the 18th or 19th of December. So by bringing the wine in bulk to the United States, he can get it to your house in 1 day, at most 5 days, which is pretty cool. So we're going to talk the 2019 vintage, and we're going to talk giving the gift of wine for the holidays. It's Anthony Frevoletti on the Total Tuscany Podcast. By popular demand. How does that make you feel, Anthony? Back by popular demand. We had so much reaction to the last podcast we did with you. You are back by popular demand.
Well, it's good to be popular, I think. I feel great about it. Yeah.
Now, you are in the United States right now, getting ready to go back to Italy. Before we get into the harvest report for 2019, what are you doing in California?
Well, I'm here in California. I work with my retailer here, CSIWines.com, and we're getting ready real quickly. The 2015 Brunello release is coming out, 2015 Brunello di Montalcino release. There's been a frenzy all over the world for that vintage, and there's going to be another one right shortly after for the 2016. They're both really two magnificent vintages, and so we're getting prepared here. We're looking at inventory, looking at how we're going to, you know, bring the wines in and get them out, and the release you know, is always an exciting time for us. Yeah, so especially on a vintage like this, the 2015. So I'm here just trying to get prepared. I have some other smaller retails and restaurants that we work with that are going to be setting up some wine dinners in the spring here in California. So, and of course I'm shopping for wine. You know, I never stop doing that. Not much luck, to be honest with you, over here. it's always, I'm always in pursuit. Yeah.
What makes CSI wine so unique? What distinguishes you from the rest of the crowd?
Well, I think that, CSI Wines is not, a typical, retail, you know, online retailer that is trying to grab everything they can, and it gets confusing. There's so much wine. They're sending you emails every day. I get one guy that sends me an email twice a day, and it's like, you know, okay, I appreciate it, but you know, it gets to be annoying after a while. And so we're just small, and we're really zoned in on a niche kind of wines. Again, you know, I don't want to go off on the whole organic and organic, because I know that gets overplayed a lot, but we're strictly sticking to small producers that, you know, some of these wine producers don't make enough wine, obviously, for us to be, you know, doing these mass emailings and everything. So we're keeping it pinpointed to just a specific a quality of wine, and again, of course, growth and soil maintenance is a main concern of mine. I just want, you know, I don't want you to have to shop through a million things and then it gets confusing and overwhelming. So it kind of just, you know, we're small, we're pinpointed, and we just want to, you know, provide you with the very simplest of shopping. Yeah, I'll shop for you once I know what you like, once I know why you like what you like. It's very easy for me to pinpoint your palate profile. So I don't want to get it overwhelming. We're not trying to be the biggest online service or the biggest retailer in the country or anything like that. Let's just keep it simple. Keep the wines coming in that are of a high standard of growth, production, yeah, and of course, end result in the glass.
No, so we're recording this on December 8th. You know, a lot of Americans, I'm heading to Florence tomorrow. You and I are going to get together next Sunday and have a family day. But I don't want to load up my suitcase with a lot of wine for Christmas. So let's talk about Christmas and the holidays. Is this the best place to get those unique Italian wines right to your door than going to Italy and filling up my suitcase with bubble wrap?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to cut that out for you. Of course, we want you to come to Italy. Of course, we want you to come and experience Tuscany and everything, and that this incredible diversity of wines and soil, the different faces of Sangiovese that are coming out instead of that kind of manufactured style that's out in the market everywhere. And yeah, I want to make it easy for you to come on over to Tuscany, enjoy yourself, enjoy the area, the food and wine together. Remember, wine is part of the food group. Yeah, it needs to be on the table for us. So all of these wines that we get to experience while we're there, I want to have over here. So when you get home, yeah, you're not having to ship it and wait 3 weeks and 5 weeks. And if something happens with a winery or something, there's a delay. And I want to get it all over here so you can come out, taste your wines while you're in Italy, have a great time, come home, and just be able to have it delivered to your house in 24 hours, in some cases here on the West Coast. And then, you know, if you're a little bit farther over on the East Coast, it's a 4-day or 5-day turnaround. So I want to make it simple. I want you to be able to have instant access to all the great wines that you may have tasted with me in Italy, or you might taste on your own if we're bringing some different things in, and so that you're, you know, not only relive your, you know, you can always be in Tuscany, just pull the cork. Yeah. so that's the kind of the premise. Over the past 10 years, I've noticed that, you know, either A, people are buying extra suitcases and dragging it around and bottles are breaking. Then there's the shipping 3 to 5 days from California versus 3 to 5, in some cases 6 weeks from Italy. Exchange rates are changing dramatically all the time. Let's just cut all that out and just make it simple. I'll bring the wine over here. You can actually order it in Italy while we're sitting there doing a wine tasting, and it'll be ready to get to your house before you get home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And just making it simple. Yeah, I want to make it accessible.
So right now, by your time frame, you could probably order up until the 18th, 19th of December, still have it to your house by Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, because those guys are delivering on that day. Is it just wine? Are you going to add like some olive oil to this? You going to add some balsamic vinegar?
Some grappa.
What are y'all going to add to this?
Grappa. I'm setting a permit. I have to file the permit to get grappas coming in. But man, I got so many great grappas. So absolutely, I need grappa here. I don't have any at the moment, so we're still working on that part. But olive oil and balsamic for sure. Right now, I'm working with a balsamic by the name of Leonardi, one of the best out there, the most consistent. And of course, Colle Barreto has a little bit. So, you know, I'll bring these kinds of things in, and I have balsamics now. Olive oil is always very difficult. People will pay me $40 a bottle for a bottle of wine because it has alcohol in it. But if I turn around and I say I have a $40 bottle of olive oil, it's hard for sometimes for people to wrap their head around. So this year, and one of the things we're strategizing now is being able to have our own a little olive oil world going on, because it's different, just like wine. Southern Tuscan olive oil is different from Northern. The coastal olive oils are different than, you know, getting out into the central parts of Tuscany. So everybody's got a different flavor core, and I really want to start focusing on it because it's so important. It's so healthy. And there's only one place in the world for this quality of olive oil and this level of olive oil, and that's Tuscany. It always has been, is today, and forevermore, the greatest olive oil on the planet. I think more and more people are starting to get more health conscious. And they're really looking for it. I'm getting calls every day. The big problem, speaking of harvest reports, is that here in 2019, olive oil, we're down dramatically. I would say, you know, I would say probably 75% of olive oil production got really nailed this year. We had a strange weather pattern that was great for grapes, but not so much for olives. There was some of the insects got involved and destroyed a lot of crops. And because we're natural and because it's, you know, an organic product, yeah, you just you're not going to go out there and spray. So you just got to let it go, you know. So it's unfortunate this year, 2019, whatever's out there and whatever's coming in, there'll be some nice little spotty, you know, places where people can make olive oil and got it done. But for the most part, you're not going to see it. Everybody's going to be still buying the 2018 vintage, which is fine. As long as the bottle is sealed and yeah, you didn't open it. The oil is just as fresh as it was when it went into the bottle. So I'm in a frantic mode trying to buy up all the 18 that I can. I have some here in California. And I'm going to be bringing in some of the 2018 olive oils in January, because I have a big core of people that need that olive oil, just like in Italy. Yeah. The table's not set until that olive oil bottle and that bottle of wine is on the table. So it's going to be really tough this year, guys. But we'll delve into that and taste some different stuff when you guys are in on Sundays.
So, Anthony, anyone that picked up your and caught your first podcast with us will remember your, you know, I would say it's an obsession with quality. And we asked the question back then, why do we not feel bad after we drink Italian wine versus the wine we buy in the States? And you explained that. Are you selling now? Are you able to deliver now to customers in the States the same type of wine that we can buy in Italy, that one that doesn't give us a hangover the next day, that one doesn't make us feel bad?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, a lot of that stuff comes down to the bottling. So a lot of right before, you know, the wine's going in and the cork getting put into the bottle, there's, you know, some additives going on there. There's additives before, there's additives during wine production. There's, you know, chemical additives and manufactured stuff out in the vineyards and so on. And that's what's really giving us these different types of reactions. And that's another great thing about CSI wine. I'm taking the wine directly from the winery straight to the to CSI wine, and then it goes directly to the door. So in other words, we're not buying in big, massive amounts that are going to go sit in a distribution center in the middle of nowhere where there is not great temperature-controlled environment. It's too big, a lot of these big importers and state distributors are so big that it's impossible. So they're bringing in the wines and it's just sitting in this kind of in this warehouse environment where then the trucks will come and pick it up and start to distribute it to all the different retailers who have ordered the wine or whatever it might be. So we're cutting all that. We go, you know, small amounts directly from a winery to CSI wines. And then to your door. So exactly what you're tasting in Italy, exactly, you know, farm fresh, let's say, is getting delivered right to the door. And that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. You know, you were fired up. We've talked briefly last night talking about today's recording, and you were just fired up about the 2019 harvest. And so let's dive into that harvest report. Can we expect good wines from this vintage?
I think you're going to have extraordinary, exceptional wines from this vintage. It's just really a remarkable, remarkable wine that's come out. And it was just a crazy, crazy growing season. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just turned out. And for us and for a lot of my small producers, guys, it was absolutely perfect. If I'm a big winery, if I'm, you know, that 100, 200,000 bottle, upwards of millions of bottles, those guys are going to have a really hard time. But the smaller producers, that 60,000 bottles down to 20,000 bottle kind of people in between there, and even maybe some of your smaller farmers that are scattered out around the country, we are all having exceptional a growing season and going to have exceptional wine. The big guys are going to have to bring in and source juice or grape from other areas, from other places, because it's a very small yield on this vintage. So, yeah, I think that, you know, we look at 2015 right now, right? We're right in the middle of this frenzy going on. You have critics calling it a legendary vintage, and I use that word as well. You have some calling it fairy tale vintage. I've read all kinds of different stuff, and that's true. You know, so 2015 is an exceptional vintage. It's a 5-star. Doesn't mean everybody made 5-star wine. Let's just get that straight. A 5-star rating is about the growing season. It's got nothing to do with you and the winery. It's got nothing to do with the hand of the winemaker and the artisan. You know, it's a growing season, and that involves, you know, there's different little things in there. Like, for instance, yield. You know, if you got tiny yields, they're not so happy because you don't have enough juice. And so, you know, just because something is given a 3-star growing season or a 3-star vintage rating doesn't mean that everybody made mediocre, you know, average wine. In fact, some of our best work is coming in three, you know, star vintages or maybe a four star vintage. That's when we have to do our best work. And let me tell you, most vintages are three and four star vintages. It's very rare what's been going on over the past, I'd say, 20 years, where we're getting consistency of you know, vintages back to back to back, and great growing seasons back to back to back. That's not the normal. So especially in like a country like France, where they're right off the ocean, their weather changes so dramatically and rapidly. Here in Italy, we're getting this consistency, and I think it's because of how we're nestled in there, as far as our geography, our location, and so on. But yeah, I think we're going to have an exceptional vintage. 2015 is legendary, but not today. It's going to be a legend in 2025, 2030. That's when we call it a legendary vintage. Today, it's people are so excited to taste it. You taste it, and you're kind of looking at each other going, this thing's like, okay. I thought it was supposed to be a five-star legendary vintage. It is, not now. So I'm buying 15, and everybody should own 15. But you buy it to hold it. It's not so ready to be enjoyed. I would argue that if you're drinking, if you're buying 2015 Brunello, or you've bought some of the 15s that have already been released in other zones, and you're drinking them right now and pulling those corks, you're not experiencing the true magic of that vintage, and you're not really experiencing a Tuscan wine, because the elements that create that unique Tuscan experience aren't there yet. Wine's too young. Yeah, does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. So how long should I hang on to a Brunello? So if I'm gonna buy your Brunello that's coming out in 2015, so it's like a stock, right? Or it's almost a bond. I've got to hold on to it for another 10 years before I crack that cork.
Well, yeah, they're obviously 5 years old when they get to the house, right? So, yeah. I'm telling everybody, at the minimum, another 5 years, particularly on this vintage, which would then put you in 2025, and you got a basically a 9 to 10 year old bottle of wine there. If you can stretch that to 2030, that point, I think the wine will be hitting the peak, right? So I'm not saying that you're going to buy this wine and stare at it for the next 10 years and not be able to open the cork. That's just torture, right?
Yes.
But what I am saying, what I am saying is that I need people to start buying properly. When you have these special kind of rare vintages, I want you to be able to buy it. But you got to change the way you're purchasing. You have to buy 6 bottles, 12 bottles, 18, 24, so that you can put them away. You can experience some along that 10-year journey, now and then, here and there. But when the wine is actually reaching its peak, you'll still have wines in the house. Today, you should be drinking your 2007s and your 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s, 11. Right now, 12 is starting to come alive and just be remarkable, as I always knew it was going to be. And that, too, another 5-star vintage, right? But I need people to start buying differently. So when you come visit me, I want to change the way you approach the wine, meaning about the soil, the base, everything underneath your feet, approaching it and understanding what's your surrounding area. If you don't know, hit Google. In 3 minutes, it comes up on your phone while you're standing there. So it's really simple to kind of start getting a better understanding of our territory and then what's happening underground. But then I need to change the way people taste wine. I want us to taste better. I don't think we taste well. And so I want to show people the different zones on your tongue. Where is it hitting? And then the finish. How's it settling? The flavors will come out. Yeah, let the wine settle. We can't drink it, right away, expecting to taste all these wonderful things immediately. And so I want to change the way people taste, and therefore give you a better understanding how to buy. You might taste a wine first, find your balance, or wine will then find you. So find the balance on your tongue, acid, sugar, sour zones. How's the wood? Is it fully integrated on my tongue? And so on. And, the oak fully integrated, the balance is perfect. Is it ready for you to drink today? Maybe not. But if you understand that it's balanced, And now you have a better idea or more confidence, I should say, in purchasing that wine to put it the 2015 into the house and have it for the future. Does that make sense? But let's approach the wine better. Let's taste better, and then we can shop better.
So, yeah. So Anthony, the podcast listener who's thinking about buying some of your wine today, how is it that you're going to educate them individually? What do they need to do?
Well, I think again, you know, it's without getting into like, you know, 3-page emails. If you're buying and you're just giving me the shot, you know, I'm always going to be there and I'm very accessible. And so, you know, I'm trying to design something else we're working on, trying to design it so that, you know, you understand how to taste it, even though maybe I'm not there. The videos are going up on YouTube pretty much daily now, and there'll be tasting videos and to kind of walk you through that. And it'll all be linked on the website, you know, and I know it's kind of hard for people to grasp the fact that they can sit down and shop at their computer in their kitchen or something like that for a wine in Italy. But if you got the extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes, click on one of the videos, understand how to taste it. And, you know, most importantly, if you pick up a case of wine from me, that is something that you haven't tasted in the past and you're just going on my tasting video or my recommendation, you get that wine home. And that wine's not hitting your palate 100%, or it's not everything that I said it was. And you just, you know, Anthony, I can't stand it. It was the worst thing I ever had. And my label scratched. So, you know, it's really simple these days for us to have the wine picked back up. I'll take the remaining, say, 11 bottles back from you, and we'll credit the wine you drank to your next purchase. And so that kind of takes a little bit of the risk out of it, because I think that's the biggest thing, right? You know, how am I supposed to know what this wine tastes like? What if, you know, how's this guy know what my palate is? And so I want the series of videos on there to kind of help walk people through it. If you can't come and hang out with me and do a tasting, and then again, accessibility, pick up the phone. No one, you know, I don't know. Nobody picks up the phone anymore. Pick up the phone. You can call me directly. You can call the staff at CSI directly. We can walk you through it, and we're happy to do so. Email, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, I'm everywhere. So it's really easy if anybody has any additional thoughts or questions or concerns. But I want people to buy with confidence and start putting wine in the house with confidence. And the only way we do that is A, having me accessible or my staff accessible, as well as understanding better how to taste. Once you learn how to taste well, great wine will find your palate.
So you're saying the old Mogan David slogan of no wine before it's time is actually accurate?
Yeah, actually, yes. Was that Mogan David? What wine was that? I remember that.
I thought it was Mogan David, but I'm trying, because I remember they used to run TV commercials all the time. No wine before it's time.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's stuff like that that has caused a lot of confusion because, you know, the wines that they were talking about were not, you know, not the greatest of wines.
Oh, they were shit.
So today, when somebody, when somebody mentions something like that or has that old cliche kind of, you know, description for a wine, it'll immediately turn us off because it's, oh, yeah, I heard that before, right? And so rest assured that I'm not going to take you there. I'm just, you know, I'm just focused on beautiful wine. And it's true. There is a time for wine, and especially on these wines that are handcrafted. They, you know, they're not, you don't go home and pull the cork. Don't be the guy standing in the street with a corkscrew in one hand and an empty wine glass waiting for the delivery truck. Yeah. You gotta, you know, get the wine in the house, let them rest and start treat them well and taking care of them. And they'll provide for you for so many years, but you know, 90% of wine is consumed on the day it's purchased, which is a pretty staggering amount of wine. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have the patience. And so that, again, if we start buying correctly and that, you know, fit it into your budget, if you can do 6 bottles, do 6 bottles. If it's just going to be 3, then buy three. But you know what? You're going to have to buy three more times than you buy 12. Right. So because you're going to drink them and you'll go through the inventories. I want you to, you know, start changing the way we buy so that you do have wines around the house for years that are ready to drink when you're ready for it.
So
you know?
I do stand corrected. It was not Mogan David. It was Paul Mason in Orson Welles.
Paul
Mason
right.
was the Orson wine, Welles. And Orson Welles was the one
That's
who
right.
delivered the no wine
That's
before
right.
its time.
Some things can't be rushed. Good music and good wine. Paul Masson's Emerald Dry. A delicious white wine. Paul Masson wines taste so good because they're made with such care. What Paul Masson himself said nearly a century ago is still true today. We will sell no wine before its time.
Man, if I had that voice, that guy has, I wouldn't have to do anything. Just what a great voice he had, and that how it rings and stays in your head all these years, you know, decades later, I could still hear him very clearly. No wine before it's time. Yeah, he was great. I wish it was real wine that he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, we're as guilty as everybody else. I think after every trip back from Italy. Travis and I are lucky to have a bottle last 6 months before we quit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We can't. Yeah, it's like it's like kids in a candy store. That stuff just staring at us. So you're like, well, we have to drink it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them surrounding me. I'm like, I feel like I'm cornered and I can't get out. Yeah, I have to drink my way through to find the light at the end of the tunnel so I can escape. It's really, really difficult. I understand. And especially, you know, you're having all those thoughts about your memories about your time in Italy and your, you know, and it's just staring at you. And there's the corkscrew on the other side of the counter and the wine glass up there and it's, okay, let's do it. Yeah, I know that happens. And thankfully, I'm only a phone call or an email away, so you can get it back, right? You can call up and order some more and replace what you drank. But if ultimately, you know, if I can get that message out there, it's not that I need to sell somebody cases of wine, right? People don't have to buy anything. And as I've said before, and I say it now, you can come to Italy. I'll spend all day with you. I don't care if you buy a bottle of wine. It's not about that for me. But when I am – you know, showing you these really beautiful wines that are just, you know, crafted with so much care and attention. We need to be able to buy enough of it so that it stays in the house for some years. That means you got to go out and find other wines too. You know, I don't look for, you know, great wines. I've often said throughout my career, I'm in the constant pursuit of great wine. I'm tasting all over the world, right? I'm going everywhere and I'm constantly tasting, looking for great wine. And these days, you know what? You have to taste so many bad wines to find one. And when you're doing that, you taste all these bad wines and then all of a sudden you come across one that's just got this great balance with bright acidity and good fruit on and sugars on the tongue and the oak is in there. It's a great wine and the winemaker and the, you know, the story behind the winery and everything's there. And it just, it jumps off the table. It explodes on your palate. You're like, oh my God, I finally found one, you know? And so today I change it, you know, I'm in the pursuit of deficient wine. I'm in the pursuit of bad wine. So I know exactly what I never want, you know, to have on your table. Great wine will find you, you know. I don't know. My dad, my stepdad used to tell me when I was a kid, both of them, you know, when we were tasting wines, you know, they were the ones that are driving that, you know, got to look for the balance. The wine's too young. In my dad's case, he just made it. You know, we just finished it maybe a year ago, not ready yet. And so it would always say, find the balance. Is it balanced? Does it have enough acid? Does it have enough sugar? How's the oak? You know, how's the alcohol levels and all these different things. And that's, I wasn't tasting for cherries and raspberry or blackberry or, you know, all the different nuances from the oak and all that. I was just tasting for balance. And so, you know, find your balance on your tongue and the great wine will find you. In other words, you know, if it's your palate profile, if it's your flavor, if it's your wine that fits your tastes, because it's so individual, you know, You find wine that you love, you taste, and it hits your palate profile. That's the second part. The first part's find your balance. You find your balance, and a great wine. And that's where we need to. The message I want to get across, and I want to show people how to do that. It's important.
So let's go back to the 2019 vintage. You mentioned the yield is smaller. What made the quality better, however?
Man, yeah, gosh, it was such a weird growing season. And we're noticing this repetition over the past 10, 12 years. It's starting to, you know, repeat itself where we come out of these wet, rainy kind of winters. And, we roll into April. And, you know, it's supposed to be more rain in April, but temperatures are supposed to be warming. And that's just not happening the past few years. And again, sporadically over the past 10, 15 years, we've noticed this kind of pattern starting to evolve, where in April, there's no water, the sun's out, and it's beautiful weather. We go from, you know, sweater weather or full-on jacket weather to short sleeve shirts out in the walking around like, you know, like it's a spring summer day. And April's getting nice and warm these days, which forces the plant to go into, you know, growth mode. And so leaves are coming out in April, and the flowers are coming out, and the grapes are starting to burst and form, so early. And it's way, way too early, especially for Sangiovese, which needs to go really late into the growing season. Cabs, Merlots, a lot of the whites, you know, that stuff can come out in September, sometimes early September. And heck, sometimes there's some people pulling grapes in late August if the weather is a pattern is like that. So, April is not the month where we want to see all that kind of immediate growth. So warm Aprils, things are starting to come out and happen, leaves, water's filling into that leaf. Water starting to get into the vine. And then, you know, we're worried because frost can hit at the end of April. The weather snaps, and then all of a sudden we drop to cold and wet again, and it'll kill everything. The water will freeze inside the stems and the leaves and so on, and it kills the growth. We're also concerned about not ripening in a pattern that's consistent with the rest of the grapes. In other words, you got one bunch coming out now, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, you got another bunch coming out. And when you come to pick it's really tough because they're all going to be different bunches on one vine. In other words, a different, you know, level of maturity on each bunch, each vine. Yeah. So these are all these little nuances. So in April, we're chewing our teeth, man. We're going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Then May hit this year. And when May hit, April was basically the May weather pattern. So they're starting to switch. Yeah. So normally in May, we get the warmth and the buds breaking and those things happening. But that's going on now in April. Now May comes in this year in 19, and it was turning back to cool, no sunshine, and some rain showers. And so it made us very nervous again, of course. But in actuality, what ended up happening, thankfully, is that the May weather kind of slowed down April's growth spurt. So it kind of got us all back to a normal pattern. It allowed all the grapes to catch up to each other, all the bursts to catch up to each other. So entering into June, we were at a consistent a growth pattern and with the, you know, with respect to the grape. So we kind of got caught up again. It was a really, we were sweating it out for those 60 days. We didn't know what was going to happen. So we got through that, right? Where everybody was pretty like, okay, here comes June, right? But when June came, man, June came like a 2x4 to the head. It was like, 100 degrees for one day to the next. And that didn't stop all the way up in through September. And I guess you guys probably saw it on the news where we were having these tremendous heat waves. Well, basically what happened is that all that heat and that excessive heat was okay because we had so much water in the aquifer. We were just saturated with water. So it actually ended up turning out to be okay. And we got huge concentrated sugar. And now you're even consistent growth pattern. You've got great growth happening. Everything is bursting and bubbling away just beautifully. And hot, that's for sure. But we get into September, and then all of a sudden, right around late September, I would say first week in August, the last 10 days of September and the first week of August, we started to get that gray clouds. Some rain showers coming in sporadically, all over the place. And all of a sudden we started getting nervous again. So everybody went in and pulled, the Merlots, the Cabs, the Cab Francs, or anything except Sangiovese. Those who've panicked and pulled Sangiovese too early are not going to be having such a great experience with the fruit this year. But for those who waited and held strong until the middle of October, were rewarded greatly. So September comes, cooling off happens. So we're getting these rainstorms, and we're getting these patterns of cool temperatures. All of a sudden, I'm putting on sweaters again, and I shouldn't have to be doing that. Cool air, and with a little touch of coldness in that air. Yeah. All of a sudden, what that did was just, gave us acidity that was just pretty. Yeah. So all of a sudden, our acids just got perfect with all that ample sugar, right? So if you take a grape and break it in half, right, the seed and what we're trying to mature is your acid, it's all the acids that are there in your seed, the pulp of the fruit, sugar and water, right? Then your skins carry the character of the fruit and will carry, really the character of that particular growing season. So, when we look at it, we had a perfect amount of sugar and water in the fruit. Let's say sugar, high, big concentration of sugar. The acids were nice and firm, but because it was cold, they were just vibrant and pretty in the grape. Forget about the wine. We're just talking about out in the field, right? And when I chew on the grapes, when I'm checking out the grapes out there, everywhere I was, all over Tuscany, the grapes were crunchy, man. It was like you could hear somebody eating potato chips or something. You were popping those grapes in your mouth and you could hear you and feel the crunch, crunch, crunch. That wasn't seed. That was skin. The skins were thick and crunchy. And then the acid would just come out and it was just so pleasant and pretty and vibrant. It just uplifted every amount of that sugar that was coming out. And it just carries it all over your palate. And then it glides it down into the finish. And it was just perfect. Skins were more than perfect, and the ample amount of sugar just balanced everything out, right? So we're talking about absolutely gorgeous balance. And now I'm talking about in the vineyard. I'm not talking about the wine yet, right? So taking great fruit, great grapes make great wine. So any great winemaker, any focused winemaker that is not concerned about the quantities and getting the wine all over the world, the smaller guys, the guys that are these artisan, winemakers, as they call them, have the absolute perfect fruit to work with. The problem was because of the heat wave, because of the April and May growth spurts and so on, we didn't get big grapes. We got tiny little grapes. So our yields are really, really going to be small in 2019. Small wineries, as I told you, Travis, hit their mark. So they got as much tonnage as they needed. They got their yields and they hit it right on the mark. But the big guys, the big wineries, the guys that are, blasting wine all over the world and have these multi-million dollar advertising campaigns to get you hooked in there, they're having a hard time because they have to outsource now. And there loses the identity of your place. Each district, each zone has its own identity. That's why they're zoned in the first place. And now if you're buying grapes from around Tuscany, you're looking at wines to be declassified. In other words, I can't, you know, can't put it into the zoned wine because I had to outsource my fruit. It's no longer going to be DOCGs and DOC. You're going to see a ton of Tuscan wines, right? So the, it's going to be the super Tuscans are going to get all the attention because that's where all the juice went because they got declassified. I don't know. I hope that makes sense to you, but it's incredible fruit. Incredible acidity, beautiful sugars there. I'm telling you right now that 19 is going to be on that level of extraordinary, provided they don't play around with your ratings and all that stuff, because that's how it's driven, right? If you see that it's a, only got 4-star, but the 2015 got 5-star, you're going to want to buy the 15 more than the 4-star. And that's just so untrue. It's not what it means. 4-star growing season, 4-star vintage versus 5-star vintage, it doesn't mean anything. And so get that message is what I'm going to be working on over the next few years while this wine's being developed. 2015 is legend. It's not legend today. 2016 is a 5-star growing season. Big concentration of sugar is going to come out of the bottle, punch you in the face. 2019 is going to be this extraordinary, elegant, refined, beautiful wine. And I'm saying to most people, you will find more pleasure out of what's going to come out of 19 than you are paying these exorbitant prices for the, you know, fairy tale 2015. Yeah, fairy tale. Yeah, buy it. Absolutely should own it. But don't think that it's the, you know, that not everybody made 5-star wine. Let's just put it that way. I hope that helps.
So, Anthony, I want to ask the question that I think probably I want to ask the question I think some people are going to ask, the people that don't have the patience to wait, right? Is there there, because I understand it, and I don't want to speak heresy about what we're doing here, but is there a wine, is there a Tuscan wine that's the equivalent of like the French, is it say Beaujolais, a young wine that we're supposed to drink before too long? Or do we want to wait for all of these wines?
No, yeah, absolutely. We touched on this the last time we spoke. There's wines that are made for consumption. So they're going to come out in their youth and they're made, the intent of the winemaker, the intent of maybe that particular winery is to make a wine that's fresh and delicious. It's not overly complex. We have, a smaller maybe window there where we're leaving skin and seed with the juice and so on. Not everybody is trying to make a wine for longevity wine cellars and to become, you know, these kinds of, they're made to consume and they're delicious. That's how they're made. What I'm trying to fight against is the guys that are making average and mediocre wine and presenting it to us and charging us as if it were a multi, complex wine with all these layers of different things. And they're just not. And that's, that's where we start getting confused, right? So I think that there's a ton of wines that I have and have had 2015 for a couple of years now, and they're all beautiful and they're all drinking great and they're made to consume in their youth. We don't want you to wait 10 and 15 and 20 years for everything. If you find a vintage like the 15s and 16s or the 19 that's coming and you're into a Brunello that has a higher maybe standard of production values and so on, and they're made for longevity, yeah, I need you to be able to recognize that and put that in the house. But man, there's more consumable wine produced every year than there is, let's call it collectible wine or wine for the cellar. And I have them here, I've already been buying them because I'm there, right? So I knew who was having a great harvest and who wasn't. Now it's just coming down to your palate profile. Once I get to know better your palate profile, I can direct you, right into the right wine for your palate, and now you can have clean, beautiful wine. They're not all expensive. I got stuff at $20 a bottle and $22 a bottle. I can't compete with grocery store at $9.99 and $12.99. That's not my marketplace, right? But for, you know, low 20s, mid 20s, wine on there for you that's handmade and fits all the criteria we're looking for. And so absolutely there's wines of 15s and 16s to drink right now. And they're doing beautiful right now. And then, of course, there's other wines, you know, that you want to put away. And I don't want you to touch it. And it was made for longevity. And it was made to, you know, come alive in the bottle in 5, 7, 10 years from now. And one of the great things about wine and about being able to buy it and keep it in the house is that what comes out of those bottles in 5, 7, 10 years down the road is remarkable. And if you buy enough, you'll be able to taste that transition over the years, just like watching your kid grow up, right? My kid's 6 years old. She's going to be 7 this week. And but yeah, she's still full of a lot of acidity right now, man. So she's running around everywhere. I got to tell her, you know, put that down. Don't touch that. Be quiet. You know, so full of acidity. She's going to breathe oxygen very slowly over the years and grow up into a beautiful, mature adult. And that's where we got to see our wine. But you get to experience as a parent all of those stages that they go through from 5 and 6 and 7 years old to adult age. And that's a privilege of a parent, right? And it's the same kind of concept with wine. And it's the way the winemakers need to be approaching a lot of my wine, yeah, that I like. When I say my wine, wines that I like and that I recommend for people, that's part of the criteria, man. I want you to see them grow up and change over time into beautiful, mature adult wines. Yeah.
So before we let you go, because I'm this mean, tell Pat what he's going to miss next Sunday when he's not with us.
Oh,
in Florence.
Here we go. Here we go.
Come on, you're not coming.
No, Pat's not coming.
This trip didn't work with my work schedule.
You know, he just chose not to come.
I mean, we're going to have so many truffles on the table right now because of that growing season and this late rains. The white truffles are booming everywhere, black truffle booming everywhere, and they're just delicious, and they're so full of and yeah, you're going to miss some just beautiful stuff coming out. Now, the wine, because it's 2015 release of Brunello and we're there, we can go around and find some bottles that we're going to sit down and taste pre-release, right? So you'd be one of the only people on the planet that's able to taste the legendary 2015, because we're going to be ripping through a lot of that stuff. And then it's Christmas in Florence. I mean, the sun goes down early, the lights come on, and it's just a beautiful festive environment in downtown Florence. And the bells are ringing and chiming at the Duomo, and it's just it's a really magical time of the year to be there. And you know, combining that with fresh truffle and the new release of the 15s, and we'll, I mean, come on, what are you going to be doing here?
Oh, you're killing me. It's not you're killing me. Maybe I'll come in on Friday.
Get over here. We'll stuff you in a suitcase. You'll have to ride in the bottom of the plane, but yeah. Yeah, man, come on. It's a great time of the year. Love Christmas in Florence. And Siena is really pretty. You know, the churches are got a lot of events going on and things are happening in church. So great time to grab mass, great time to give thanks, great time to enjoy these brand new vintages that are being released, to get a sneak peek at what's coming. And then, of course, eating. You know, at this time of the year, we're all porcini mushroom. We're, you know, our meat, you know, stews and the wild boar stews.
His head, man, I got to cut so you. Much. I got to cut you off because his head's going to explode. He's piercing me with his eyes. Oh. But I just want you to know, I begged him to come for months. He blew me off. So it's just my wife and I. So Anthony, I'm looking forward to spending next Sunday with you. I appreciate your time. This has been great. You're going to be a regular every single year on this podcast, and I'll see you next Sunday. And for everybody else, Merry Christmas, my friend.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas, Pat.
Yes,
don't
Anthony.
Know what to tell you, brother. Listen, we'll take a lot of photos just to yeah, a lot of video to wear you out just a little bit more. So next year you don't make the same mistake.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Merry Christmas to everybody. Look forward to seeing you, Travis. I look forward to seeing you in Florence this week. And thanks so much for the time. Yeah, I love doing these things, man.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Ciao. Travis, have you ever met anybody that knows as much about wine as Anthony?
I don't know if the quick answer is no. I know for a fact I've never met anybody that's as passionate about wine as Anthony is.
He is that. He is that. But he to me, he makes things very complex seem very simple. And I had no idea what went into the growing season for grapes. I had no idea.
Well, and you heard him talk about the ups and downs of the growing season, how they were like, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. Oh my God, this could be great. Oh my God, this could be horrible. Oh my God, this is absolutely wonderful. I mean, and I think it's okay to have smaller yields. I mean, sometimes a smaller yield, we're talking about quality over quantity at this point.
Right. We're talking about, and it's interesting that the large producers probably are not going to have as good of a season as the small producers.
No.
But then that's only part of the story, and I don't know what percentage, but the rest of the story is what they do with it once they've harvested. So
do you regret not going with me to Italy?
Deeply, yes. And we'll be going next year.
So sure. Here's the great part is that I want everybody to follow along with my trip, and my wife is going with me. So follow us on Instagram at Total Tuscany. You can follow our Facebook page. You can follow our Twitter page. But we'll probably do a lot more Instagramming because of the photos and the stuff we're going to be able to capture. So we'll be doing Instagram stories and just regular posts. So just go to Instagram, follow us on Total Tuscany, and just you'll be able to follow my trip. You'll be able to see my pictures with Anthony that Pat will be extremely jealous on.
And then we'll have a podcast about your trip when you come back.
We will. Yeah, we could. We could do that. Well, because I'm actually got a couple interviews lined up when I'm over there that will be bringing these smaller, and they're going to be like mini podcasts. Today's went over 50 minutes long. I think I've got a couple lined up that could go 15, 20 minutes, which would be, you know, nice to bring Tuscany, record in Tuscany and actually bring it home and share it with
them. I hope people sitting around listening to this podcast are really, really contemplating and pull the trigger on going to Tuscany in 2020.
And I'm going to tell you right now, and we'll go to it later on as a podcast. It's very affordable. It's not, I always hear everybody's like, oh my God, it's on my bucket list. I go, well, this was on my bucket list in 2009, and I've gone almost every year since because going, I can tell you right now, and we'll go into further detail in 2020. We live in Omaha, Nebraska. You and I can go to Florence, Italy, cheaper than we can go to Disney World.
That's by a large stretch.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, so we'll give you those tips and tricks because everybody should have the right to travel and everybody should travel. The hardest part is sitting on a plane for 8 hours, but once you get through that, everything is awesome.
We want to help you go to Tuscany.
That's right. He's Pat Capagna. I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And remember, never, ever believe that you can't go to Tuscany because it is possible.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on the Total Tuscany Podcast.